Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Kill or Die, Number 2, by Alex Toksik, translated by Monty Canson, narrated by Peter Verbena. Chapter 1. I watch everything happen like it's in slow motion. Yumi's face takes on a kind of dumb, doomed expression. I can't tell if she regrets what she's done or not, but frankly, I don't care. She's too dumb to be on our team, choosing her own personal vengeance over our common interests. And that means we're not on the same path anymore. And I don't care about her pretend obedience or how skillfully she flaps her lips. She's dead to me. Yet I don't want to hand her over to the AI either. Maybe it's my intuition, or maybe my conversations with the Master and Zweigen, but I sense something sinister guiding these barking town guards with their whimsical little beards. It's that neural network, the AI, that massacre in the town square, the quest the other day. None of that was by chance. I assumed the point was to thin out the number of beta testers, but I realize now that it was the AI learning to defend itself as well as to kill. Observing, absorbing, assimilating, seems like it's decided now to set its own rules, and what better way to do that than with a public display of punishment? Suga and T-Rex backpedal in shock, but Lance grasps what's happening and the benefits it offers. "Guards! Guards!" he yells, grabbing Yumi by the shoulder. "The traitor is here! I've got her!" Traitor? What a ridiculous label. If there's anyone Yumi's betrayed here, it's me. There's no time to explain. I can only hope my party members know what to do. "To battle!" I yell, slamming into Lance while swiping at his wrist with my stiletto. Lance yanks his hand away, and that's enough for Yumi to break free. I use the element of surprise to the utmost, driving my second dagger into his chest. Lance and the others wear simple, quilted armor and wield newbie swords, yet even this level of gear is impressive. They must have a stash somewhere in-game. I'll need to think about this further. My precise strike is now on cooldown, so my second and third hits are much weaker. Then Lance jumps back, getting into a defensive stance, laughing. "Another fool. I'll get double bounties for you two. What makes you think I'm going to kill you?" I'm at the top of my game. The debuff is gone and the stimulants raging in my physical body double my dexterity and significantly increase my strength. I'm level 3, but with all the bonuses, I'm as good as a level 6, plus my advantages in weapons and armor. Lance and I are almost evenly matched. If it weren't for the stupid no-kill rule, I'd have fragged him by now. I dodge sharply to the right, avoiding T-Rex's thrust. It's 3 against 1 now, but not for long. "Hurrah!" Simba charges into the fray, scattering enemies like bowling pins. T-Rex, his main target, goes tumbling. He sits on his ass, shaking his head, clearly dazed. Looks like Simba used his new skill, and I can't say I don't like the outcome. "Finish him!" I shout to Yumi. "You've got nothing to lose now, so you might as well." She snaps out of it and screams as she jumps on T-Rex. She mounts him as if she's going to fuck him, but instead she slits his throat with her stiletto. There you have it, boys. We've got an outlaw killer on our side with nothing to lose. It'd be foolish not to make the best of it while we can. Lance's look is full of fury. He realizes we can kill them, but they can't kill us. Lovely, ain't it? He makes an effort to move faster. He's wielding 2 newbie swords longer than my stilettos. And he's level 7 now, meaning he's picked up 7 surprises in the training camp. Simba is keeping Suga occupied. He's already taken a few hits, but it doesn't seem to faze our new paladin much. Yumi gets up from the heap of rags that was once T-Rex. She arches her back sensually. A tremor runs through her body. Level 5. Yumi purrs with pleasure and licks the blood off her dagger, clearly off her rocker with bloodlust. In less than a minute, Lance's party is down by 2, while the guards haven't covered even a third of the distance yet. Everything is happening very, very quickly. This isn't the gladiator games, so there's no need to put on a show. Lance's blades are longer, but he can't keep me at bay. I'm a bit faster, and I use that to my advantage. He's parrying more, getting defensive. It's a smart strategy on his part. He doesn't need to win, just to hold on until the guards arrive. I kick him in the knee. To hell with the noble dueling etiquette. And nothing happens. It's like kicking a bronze statue. Damn, there must be some skill to counter this, which I don't have. It seems that at the moment, our fight's more about builds and levels, not true fighting prowess. I should have chosen the adventurer class and not been so fancy. Also, I should have made Simba the party leader. What does it matter who makes our party? He probably has plenty of sneaky tricks up his sleeve. A strike. Lance crosses his blades like scissors, strikes from below, and my stiletto goes flying. He smirks. Here's one of his new skills, I guess. I parry the next blow with my remaining dagger, but now he's pressing. Brong! 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 The jarring noise of a sword hilt hitting a shield resounds throughout the street. It's so irritating, I want to stop everything and attack the jerk making this racket. I want to rip that rotten sword from his hands, shove its hilt up his ass, and twist it a few times. But wait, it's Simba who's making this clatter. Brong! That's his aggro aura to draw enemies to him. This is how it works in this game. It's very effective, but indiscriminate. I probably wouldn't feel its effects if we were in the same party, but I haven't actually made our party yet. First it was one thing, then another. Brong! Sugar lunges at him like a madman, bouncing around like a terrier in front of a bear trying to reach him. Lance flinches at every sound, involuntarily turning his head towards Simba. It's the perfect time to crit him, but I'm doing exactly the same thing, turning to look at Simba and contemplating cynical ways to kill him. Stacy, however, is unaffected. Maybe the aura's aggro effect decreases with distance. Thud! A stone from her slingshot hits Lance in the head. He freezes for a moment, his eyes rolling back. He's stunned. A smart move and a good use of her special skill. I could kiss her for that. But later. Everything later. For now, I take aim and drive my stiletto into Lance's liver. Yumi! I don't need to call the psycho twice. She comes up behind Lance as if she wants to have her way with him, plunges her stiletto into his throat, and whispers in his ear, "Die, you freak." I hear this only because at that very moment, I'm also intimately pressed against him from the front, busy turning Lance's stomach into a sieve. You can't do much damage with a stiletto, but during the time it takes you to land one blow with a sword, you can get three in with a dagger. The three of us make a kind of sandwich with Lance as the filling. He takes his time dying, about 10 seconds. I barely manage to hold back, letting Yumi land the final blow. "I'll find you, you bitch," Lance yells before he expires. I find this funny because in Meat Space, he knows exactly where to find me. And if he does, he'll regret it. "Oh, damn," Yumi collapses into my arms. "Ah." She's shaking. She gained 2 levels in less than a couple of minutes, and it's hitting her now. I slap her to bring her back to her senses. Suga is left alone against 4, and finishing him is just a matter of technique. I can see my reflection in the eyes of the approaching guards when Simba knocks him down with a shield bash. Then we hold him. Simba by the legs, me by the right arm, and Stacy by the left, while Yumi butchers him like a pig. "Let's go." "Wait, what about the loot?" Simba worries. "Screw it, they might charge us as accomplices." Yumi is covered in blood from head to toe. She looks around, confused, like a serial killer caught near a fresh victim. I briefly consider turning her in, if not to the guards, then at least to the nurses. "Run, you dolt!" We zigzag through the alleys, managing to build a lead. It can't last long, our stamina is dropping, but I don't doubt the guards' abilities. If the AI made them, they should be as good as hounds and will chase their quarries for a long time. I know where we can hide, though. It might be the only place where we can hide an outlaw from the long arm of the law. If not, then Yumi's doomed, and she deserves it. We turn another corner and find ourselves in a square facing another spider's nest. You can't call this abandoned mansion anything else. Thick cobwebs cover the crooked, gothic structure so densely that they completely obscure its sharp angles. It might as well be a cocoon that has fat elite spiders with poison green crosses on their backs crawling all over it. From a distance, I can't see their levels, but they must be at least level 5. They're big, fat, with glossy abdomens and curved jaws, almost twice the size of the regular level 1 spiderlings. If the spiderlings are the size of small dogs, these boys are at least the size of mastiffs, just more squat and solid. The neighboring houses have changed, too. Their windows are now covered in dense webs, so you can't see inside. There are spiders in the yards, on the porches, even on the roofs. Further down the street, however, it looks like the infestation has been stopped. In that direction, three of the houses are surrounded by makeshift fortifications that look like giant caltrops, sharp logs tied together. The town guard mans these makeshift battlements. I quickly manage to count up 14 guards. They're bristling with pikes, trying to catch the spiders as they climb over the logs. A successful hit sends a spider flying over the barrier like a caught fish, to be finished off by the rest of the defenders. Nevertheless, sometimes the spiders get lucky, leaping over the spikes and wreaking havoc among the defenders' ranks. Both the spiders and the guards are low level, just zeros and ones. I guess the AI is just playing with itself, mobs versus NPCs, though I'm not sure if the guards count as NPCs. They're no different from the mobs, really, and we might have to fight them soon enough. Some players stand in line with the guards, often covering gaps in the fortifications, facing the spiders head-on. Further on, I see mobile squads of level 3s and even level 4s, probably there in case of a breakthrough. I spot one level 5 guard, distinguished by a fancy gold sash and wielding a sword with an ornate hilt instead of a pike. The best part is that these battle lines clearly haven't shifted in a while, and this stalemate seems to suit both sides. The spiders get to keep their nests, and the city authorities can use the endless onslaught to train their troops. That's all I manage to observe in the few moments we have before our pursuers' heavy footsteps break the silence of the alley behind us. My plan was to hide ourselves right in the middle of battle, so that the aggressive spider mobs could serve as a natural defense for us. But first, we have to make our way into this fray. My party. I almost forgot. I assumed my leadership skill would level up the classic way. Circumstances have changed, but that's no reason to abandon my plans. I stare dumbly at the word party in my interface. My gaze shifts from it to Simba, back to the interface, trying to mentally click. "Tarj, what are you, in a daze?" Simba asks. "Did you get another debuff?" "Tarj, eh? Sounds good to me. Target I is too long to pronounce, and calling someone by their game name is bad manner." I force my thoughts back to the task at hand. The speed buffs are making me scatterbrained. My mind jumps from one thing to another, noticing many small details but struggling to put it all together. So why the hell did I have to grind to get all my skills in the training camp? But this one, leadership, was just given to me. No, that's not right. It wasn't just given to me. I got this whistle along with it. As soon as I blow into it, a new menu appears. Touch the player you want to add to the party. I put my hand on Simba's shoulder. He looks up surprised, then receives an invitation. Simba has joined the party. His portrait and status appears in my interface, his health bar, currently at 92%, and his skills, which include Battle Cry, Copper Skin, and Shield Bash. His portrait also has a daily prayer indicator with a barely filled bar. This seems to be a constant, voluntary debuff, not unlike my sexual arousal, only requiring different actions to dispel. I repeat this process to add Angel Cake to our party. Her skills become visible, but there's no time to figure them out. The fuzz are breathing down our necks. Yumi, realizing something important is happening, looks at me with pleading eyes. "No, darling, you're out of luck. I wouldn't be surprised if the whole party gets branded as outlaws if I let her in." "I should have left you behind," I yell at her. "You let everyone down. If you want to live, run after us. But I'm not adding you to the party. You haven't earned it." From an outsider's perspective, it must look funny. A level 3 scolding a level 7 like this. But she just listens, eyes downcast. "Andrew," Angel Cake tries to intervene. "Fine defender of the downtrodden she is. I thought she'd be at odds with Yumi, but instead, they've become buddies." "Tarj, let's get the hell out of here," Simba interrupts. "Look at this mess." A wave of disquiet seems to pass over the square. Only the defenders remain at the fortifications, while everyone else looks at us, pointing. They start moving, breaking into a run. There must be dozens of them.
There's the outlaw! Grab her! Take her alive!
Trying not to think about possibly having led my party into a trap, I frantically issue orders. Make a break for the house on the right. Don't engage the guards, just push them away if you need to. Yumi, you bring up the rear. Only get involved as a last resort. And don't you dare steal our XP.
All right. Everyone ready? Let's go.
We take off, heading straight towards the running guards. Luckily, they don't consider that area particularly dangerous. The main forces are concentrated around the central house's ruins, where most of the spiders are. We're facing only level ones and twos, yet there are about 20 of them. I adjust the party's XP distribution on the run. It'll be 50% for me and 25% each for Simba and Angel Cake. It might not be fair, but we'll soon need more DPS, and that's going to be me. Next, we quickly close with the line of guards. It feels like rugby or American football or something. Two teams charging at each other, ready to collide. I duck under one guard's hand and sidestep another. They just run past me. I'm just an obstacle of no interest to them. Simba collides with one, not even slowing down, and the guard is knocked off to the side. The AI doesn't react, however. I guess it merely registers it as harmless bumping. Maybe they didn't notice each other. I don't dare do the same, but why bother when my dexterity allows me to dodge outright anyway? I wonder what they plan to do with a level 7 assassin when they do catch her. Politely ask her to go to jail? Or do they have guards of a corresponding level? For now, Yumi is taking them down like standing targets. Then she activates stealth. The pursuers spin around, bewildered, as their target suddenly vanishes. The line of fortifications lies ahead. Without thinking of slowing down, I step on the logs and, turning in midair, fall into the writhing mass of spiders. I roll and regain my footing. They're much too slow for me. I drive my stiletto into one creature's head, trip another, and land a hard kick on a third. The level one spiders die from a single hit, but they don't yield much XP, especially now that it's shared among us all. I clear a space for the others.
Where are you going? You can't do that. Hey, put that back!
The guards shout frantically behind me. Simba drags one of the giant caltrops aside with two stubborn defenders hanging on it. He just pulls it and them along with it.
Damn, why are you so heavy? He grunts.
As I help him, I suffer two painful bites on my ass. My health drops. I never did put anything into constitution, so I still have as much HP as a newbie. I fend off the spiders with my stilettos until our tank and archer catch up to me. Yumi materializes beside them, causing an uproar among the guards. They rush into the breach, met by spiders. I just watch, admiring the scene. The first step of my plan is complete. Only a few dozen more stops to go.
To battle!
Roars Simba, charging into the dense pack of eight-legged creatures with his shield. Chapter 2. It was the ideal farming setup. Think about it. No need to amass trains of monsters. They just keep coming to you nonstop. They're already at the perfect level for leveling up, just one or two below ours, so they die with a single hit. No interference, no jostling for space. If only I had a couple AoE skills so I wouldn't have to stab each mob individually with my stiletto. And I also wish the guards, who kept hacking through the sea of spiders, calling for the assassin to turn herself in, would shut up already.
"Surrender thyself, thou outlaw Yumi!" they cry. "Drop thy arms and come this way! Fear not, for thou shalt face fair justice, a trial with the mayor as thy judge."
Yumi occasionally flips them the bird. Plotting and sulking behind us, you can tell she's bored, especially since I barred her from killing any mobs. Occasionally, she punts away an overly bold spider. The reason I forbade her from farming XP with us is because she doesn't need it. She's already gorged herself up to level 7, and I wouldn't be surprised if she's now second in the player rankings after Rana, or third after Lance. But most likely second. She did gank him, after all, not the other way around. He was banging her, but she finished him off. And Xavier, too. She kills her mates almost like a black widow. I recall the oral blessings she's given me as of late. Even if we all band together, we might not be able to take her down. Seeing her lick blood off her dagger gave me the creeps. It seems like we've nurtured a psycho in our ranks. Yet she's not showing any aggression at the moment. It seems the frenzy that drove her to wipe out Lance's squad and become an outlaw has passed and given way to whining.
Andrew, what's going to happen now?
I don't know, I snap back at her. Did you think about that when you jumped those idiots?
What about them?
At least she didn't play the "you're a man, why didn't you say anything" card. I hate girls who get themselves into trouble, betting on others to bail them out. If Yumi had been like that, I'd have told her off right away. But though she messed up, she didn't drag anyone into it or force anyone to get involved. I got involved myself, since it was the perfect chance to screw Lance over one more time. Too bad he got to the training camp first and set up his build. Otherwise, I could have knocked him out of the beta for good. Would have been quite a spectacle. I wonder whether Mostek would have reversed his elimination. Doubt it. This train's picking up speed every day, and the rules are no longer set by the admins, the devs, or even the master and company. It's all up to the AI now. On the other hand, at least Lance will have to sit out the rest of today. No XP and no loot for him. He was on top of the food chain, and now, at least he'll have to look over his shoulder more often and tread carefully. And why am I having these thoughts in the middle of a battle? Because there's nothing more dull than farming. Except maybe weeding. Hit, twist, pull out the stiletto. Hit, twist, pull out. I alternate my strikes, top, bottom, side, aiming right at the middle of the spider's foreheads, or whatever it is spiders have, right above their 8 nasty little eyes. Still, you quickly get bored from such labor. It's like peeling potatoes. Random thoughts creep into your head. After my talk with Zweigen, I took some time to look up neural networks on the internet. There wasn't much info to be found, and what was there seemed to describe neural networks as a quirky, unusual, but overall useless curiosity. I recalled one example quite clearly. Programmers had worked on chess engines for many decades. The most successful engine could even beat a world champion, but not always. It could evaluate a position and crunch the best possible moves and choose the best strategy based on them. But if a human started improvising and purposefully playing to confound the engine, he still had a chance of creating a closed and even position that he could win from. Neural networks changed all this. A neural net didn't know any openings or endgames. The devs would simply teach it the game rules and then had it play against itself. After a few months, it had played several trillion games against itself, and could rip apart both traditional chess engines and living grandmasters. That's what the mobs training on each other reminded me of today. The AI was training itself. But what was it training itself for? That was the question.
Brong!
Simba recast his aura. This time, to us, his fellow party members, it sounded like a regular noise. Not too loud, like a spoon tapping a metal bowl.
Gah!
Yumi, meanwhile, clutched her ears in agony, dropping to her knees. Tell him to stop or I'll kill him myself.
Just move back a bit, Stacy advised her. It's not so bad the further you are. Worked for me.
Yumi looked back skeptically. The guards were preparing a special operation, dead set on getting Yumi's head. They had lined themselves in a long rank, phalanx style, to push the spiders out of their way. A level 5 officer had taken charge. Seeing their preparations, the assassin pressed closer to us instead.
Brong!
Damn it!
Yumi jumped again, resisting the urge to lunge at the aggro-inducing paladin.
At least give me a heads up!
Stacy put away her slingshot, which was useless at close quarters, took a sword in her hands, and was now chopping spiders with the methodical thoroughness of a good housewife prepping coleslaw for dinner. Meanwhile, the XP came slowly trickling in. I was already halfway to level 4 and was happy to keep going, when Simba ran into a wall. Well, calling it a wall would be an exaggeration. It was more of a fence, and a flimsy one at that. There were large gaps in it where its pickets had fallen and where elite spiders now clicked their jaws menacingly. The spiders were level 3s, and there were about 15 of them, They seemed as happy to see us as if we were their long-lost family, and they immediately skittered our way in order to hug us, I suppose.
Simba, your aggro aura.
Brong.
Oh, goddammit. Hack 'em, Stacy.
I realized what it was that gave me the impression that the spiders were happy to see us. They were squatted on their hind legs and swaying their bellies, like friendly dogs happy to see their owners after a day apart. They didn't wag their tails, but that wasn't surprising.
Eek, son of a bitch, Simba yelled. Get this thing off me.
It turned out the spiders weren't squatting just for show. Two of them suddenly leaped in loping jumps, aiming their jaws at our paladin's face. He managed to deflect one with his shield mid-jump, but the other clamped onto his hair, its furry legs covering his face like a facehugger from Alien.
Help!
Simba whirled in place, trying to shake the creature off, panicked more from revulsion than pain.
Stand still! Don't move! Angel Cake yelled. I'll knock it off you!
No, no, not you! Simba wailed. You'll knock my head off along with it!
Fine then, Stacy huffed, offended. Keep it on. I hope it craps in your stupid mouth.
I was afraid of missing and accidentally smacking Simba, so instead of using my weapon, I tried to pull the spider off by its leg. To no avail. The arthropod had latched on with a death grip. Further back, I noticed several more spiders preparing to jump.
Yumi!
Whang!
The stiletto buzzed through the air next to me. The assassin had responded instantly. The weapon, not meant for throwing, plunged into the spider's bulging back with such force it ripped the creature off of Simba and flung it to the pavement. I'm just starting to grasp what a level 7 is capable of, and I can't help but feel a pang of envy. If I had dealt with Lance myself, I wouldn't be lagging behind her now. However, her future place in this game is uncertain. How would she even be able to go on playing here? Sure, we might make it to the end of today's quest, but what about tomorrow? Won't the guards be waiting for her the next time she spawns?
Papers, please, miss. What's this?
Right this way. Or will the AI grant an amnesty, letting bygones be bygones? It does seem to be a bit temperamental. One day it engineers a general massacre, and the next day it's a universal love-in. I'm just happy to get out alive at the moment. I'll deal with the bigger problems as they come.
Rah, you bastards!
Simba charges into the line of elite spiders. One spider gets knocked deep into the yard while the others circle the paladin like a ring around the rosy. They snap at his unprotected legs. Though his torso's clad in chainmail, he has on only leather pants below. Meanwhile, some spiders turn to us, presenting their juicy abdomens. Not in the way you're thinking, but in the easy targets they make for our swords and stilettos. They go down pretty easily. I try a precise strike on one, and one shot it, while the rest fall after two or three stabs in the gaps between their shell and head, or shell and belly. Stacy had it tougher, since her sword would not always pierce the spider's armor. Yet she made do, especially since the spiders, even when almost cut in half, ignored us. Clicking and rattling their jaws furiously, they tried to get Simba, even as they died. That's how badly Azara infuriated them. In this manner, we made our way into the yard, stepping over the bodies of dead elite spiders. Sounds epic and all, but in reality, the dead spiders just turned into a handful of dust, leaving no loot. As I entered the breach, I turned around. The phalanx of guards had begun to move, but their progress was slow. The spiders overwhelmed them with numbers, and whereas the pikes were good for defense, they were middling for attacking such small, nimble creatures. The town guard had no concept of tank or DPS party rules, and consequently, their advance was only gradual. Their main weapon was their leader, a level 5 officer. Far from cowering behind his subordinates, he bravely flanked the spiders, clearing a path for the other fighters. It seemed that the AI was beginning to learn the finer points of combat operations.
What will become of me? Yumi approached me. What will they do to me when they catch me?
She picked up her stiletto from the ground, wiped it on her pants, and looked back anxiously. Whereas the guard's maneuvers merely elicited curiosity in me, she was clearly frightened by them. And I noted that she said when, not if. I have no idea, I replied honestly. Maybe they'll strip you down and spank you in the town square.
Maybe they'll throw you in jail. Maybe they'll chop off your head. Or maybe they'll give you a medal and make you an honorary citizen. I simply have...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?